As Monty Python said, now for something completely different. A risk area that I know myself can be more complicated and contentious, and where I have helped both clients and their advisors alike, is that of marginal small companies relief in corporation tax cases. As I say, I think HMRC producing a guidance toolkit for this topic is a very good effort in the right direction. Again, the toolkit document starts with the useful introduction of how HMRC are looking to eliminate errors by giving advice on the most common areas of mistake, and the reminder that following the toolkit and showing you've followed the toolkit will be acknowledged as taking reasonable care should there be any later errors. Like the toolkit for capital gains on land and buildings, HMRC first acknowledges risk is that of poor record keeping, and I suspect that moving into the newer risk-based checking regime, then the standard of a client's records and the extent to which they may have contributed to errors in returns will become a major consideration of HMRC in each case. The other risks that HMRC identify for marginal small companies relief are distilled down to just two further topics over and above poor record keeping, and they are 1. Incomplete information, and 2. Applying the correct rules. Again, not the most difficult of subjects for us advisors to lose sight of. However, take HMRC at their word. This is what they say they see wrong most often. So, let's look at each in a little more detail. In all, for small companies relief, HMRC give a total of only 11 risks. Remember that in the capital gains for land and buildings, there are 9 identified risks for private residence relief alone. So, HMRC have identified only 11 risks in total for marginal small companies relief. It makes sense for me to read each of them as they appear in the toolkit. Number 1. Have you, the advisor, checked the notes to the accounts to consider whether there are any associated companies? 2. Have you, the advisor, checked whether there are any non-UK resident companies associated with the company? 3. Have you checked whether there are any other companies associated with the company? 4. Have you considered whether any of the shareholders or participators control another company by themselves or with others? 5. Have all appropriate attribution of rights and powers been considered? 6. Have you considered whether control of a company is other than by shares? 7. Have all minimum controlling contributions been considered in establishing the level of control of a company? 8. If you consider extra statutory concession C9 applies, have you reviewed the specific test within the concession? 9. If the company is a close company, have you considered whether the company is a close investment holding company? 10. Have you reviewed any dormant companies to check whether they are dormant for small companies relief or marginal small companies relief purposes? 11. Has the correct rate of tax and marginal small companies relief been applied? And there you have it. For the marginal small companies relief, a list of a dozen, I think, self-explanatory questions, which apparently highlight the most common mistakes that HMRC see. with the possible exception of question 9, the close investment holding company risk, then I think the rest of the questions which indicate HMRC's risks are pretty straightforward. The toolkit's further explanations of these risks is also pretty obvious. I don't think we need to spend a great deal of time on them again, other than just to run through those questions once again and to reflect on them for a moment. So, question 1. Have you, the advisor, checked the notes to the accounts to consider whether there are any associated companies? Question 2. Have you, the advisor, checked whether there are any non-UK resident companies associated with the company? Question 3. Have you checked whether there are any other companies associated with the company? Question 4. Have you considered whether any of the shareholders or participators control another company by themselves or with others? Question 5. Have all appropriate attribution of rights and powers been considered? 6. Have you considered whether control of a company is other than by shares? 7. Have all minimum controlling contributions been considered in establishing the level of control of a company? 8. If you consider extra statutory concession C9 applies, have you reviewed the specific test within the concession? Question 9. If the company is a close company, have you considered whether the company is a close investment holding company? Question 10. Have you reviewed any dormant companies to check whether they are dormant for small companies relief or marginal small companies relief purposes? And finally, question 11. Have the correct rates of tax and marginal small companies relief been applied?